Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Smooth Burrito. I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And today, I have to eat crow. I have to eat a big pile of crow. I have to put it all on my plate and eat it. Because I have to talk about why I think Elden Ring is good.
I mean, we didn't say it was bad last time. We just had some criticisms.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of those criticisms still hold weight, I think. Yeah. I do think that the game is still very bad at onboarding you, but we'll get to that. First, we got to talk about what we've been playing. What do you got?
Okay, so I've been playing Resident Evil 4 Remake. Love it. One of my favorite games of all time, just made better. Fucking amazing. I mean, what else is there to say other than Resident Evil 4 is fucking awesome? And I've been replaying Breath of the Wild, to prepare for what is Tears of the Kingdom.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm finding some, you know what? Like when last time I played Breath of the Wild, you know, I played it so much that I got a little burnt out on it. And then now stepping back into it, I'm like, man, game's so good. And I can draw some comparisons to the Elden Ring of things. Not in the difficulty, but in the, a little bit of like the gameplay loop and how it hooks you. And things I've noticed in that, you know, Elden Ring will be like, and we'll get into that later, but kind of the hook of Elden Ring is unique, and I feel like Breath of the Wild kind of similar in that, like, you kind of just get lost and just doing shit, exploring shit, and that's kind of what, like, kind of makes things more addicting and hooks you in to those games. But yeah, those are the Resident Evil 4 Remake, Breath of the Wild, and Elden Ring. Those are the games I've been playing. That's it.
Nice. I played a bunch of stuff for SawCon 3D, which was over the weekend, the little weird online streaming con that we do. But that was all, those were all niche fighting games. Aside from that, my job recently got me a belated Christmas gift of this little emulation handheld. It's called like an Anbernic RGM35, yep. Bunch of numbers.
I know that one.
Yeah, it was like, it's apparently like $130, but I was messing with it and came with a SD card that was already loaded with ROMs, which I'm sure is completely legal. But
yeah, it probably is. I mean, they sell it on Amazon. PSP games.
Yeah, of course. I was really impressed with it, with the build quality. It's all metal. It feels nice. It looks like it's user serviceable, like it's not a glued together phone sandwich. And
yeah, a friend of mine has one of those. I've played with it. It's really good. I loved it. I thought all the games played really well as well.
Oh yeah, it uses those open source Switch replacement joysticks. So when the joystick eventually gives up the ghost, assuming it does, I don't know, they're Hall Effect sensor joysticks, which are usually better than the let's keep track of where a gear's position is type joysticks. But if those do go out, it's only like a, you know, it's a part, it's cheap to replace. So
yeah.
But yeah, that thing's been cool. I was playing on it Castlevania Circle of the Moon on Game Boy Advance, which
solid choice. Yeah,
I never really got into it before. I missed it the first time around, and then the movement bugged the hell out of me, which honestly my biggest criticism of the game is that the movement still bugs the hell out of me.
It probably still bugged me too. Yeah,
like that was an awful decision, but other than that, the game's a really good Castlevania game. Like it it's a good game. It has the same snappy Metroidvania gameplay you'd expect, and it has actually bafflingly, I think, slightly better graphics and definitely better sound than Harmony of Dissonance, which I think released after it, but I'm not sure on that. But I know it was two different Konami teams, so maybe they didn't share. I don't know. Let me check that, actually. Lovely, lovely typing noises.
Mechanical keyboard typing.
Oh, yeah.
This is an ASMR podcast now.
Yeah, this is now an ASMR podcast. Tell me when the release date was. So Circle of the Moon was released March 21st, 2001. Harmony of Dissonance came out September 16th, 2002 in the US. So yeah, a year later. I guess they just didn't share tech. Because I know part of the big deal with Harmony of Dissonance sounding the way it was, I like the Harmony of Dissonance soundtrack, don't get me wrong, but the actual fidelity of it, it sounds very 8-bit, and I know part of what they were doing with that game was figuring out how to use the sound driver. Why they couldn't use the Circle of the Moon one is beyond me, because in Circle of the Moon everything sounds fine, but I don't know. I don't know the complexities of programming for that console. Maybe with Harmony they were doing some stuff that required more processing power or something. I do know that Harmony seems to have a higher frame rate when it comes to the sprites. Some of the Circle of the Moon walk cycles are literally 2 frames. But yeah, that game's been rad. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, and like I said, I've been enjoying that. But before that, we got to talk about some news items. First up, I think there ain't no more E3. E3, go bye bye.
What the fuck? I love how they announced that E3 was happening before they had everyone on board. So like they were like, "Oh, E3's back," and then everyone was like, "We're not gonna be there." And then they're like, "Okay, well, I guess E3's not back." And it's like, yeah, maybe you guys, before you announce E3, maybe you should be like, "Oh, hey, who's coming?" You know, like maybe we should confirm that Nintendo's gonna have something on the floor, that Sony is gonna have a conference, that, you know, they're gonna have shit for people to play, or even Ubisoft or any of the other ones. They were just like, "Yeah, we're back. Awesome. It's going to be great." And then everyone else is like, "It's not going to be that great because we're not going to be there." So I don't know what you're going to have. Yeah, I don't know
why they would do this, except to, you know, they're still operating under the mentality of old where E3 was the thing. But that kind of got, that spell got broken when Nintendo started doing directs and everybody realized, hey, if we do our own events, we can not only save money by not involving the middleman that is E3, we can better control the content and the messaging and, you know, only show what we want to show and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't have any live mishaps and stuff like that, which I'm going to miss.
Oh, same.
But, you know, like I'm always going to miss those days where like I'm rushing home from work or whatever. I'm fucking trying to, you know, grab some food and then like sit there and watch the press conferences and shit. Like, good memories, you know what I mean? So sad to see that aspect of things go. Now it seems Sony announced their own showcase that's going to happen. I mean, we do have Summer Games Fest with Jeff Keighley, that's happening around E3 time, so he's kind of taken over that a little bit. Sony's going to have their own showcase. Nintendo has one every summer at around that time. Xbox, I'm sure, will have something. So yeah, I mean, it's just come down to like, we're still going to get stuff from like the big three and then some other companies during Summer Games Fest. But I am going to miss kind of like the E3 press conference, like hype, like who won, what they have to show. Competition factor.
I don't know, it's definitely at the end of an era. I personally think that E3 should have just gone on. I mean, I know this isn't the smart decision when it comes to a making money aspect, but I don't care about that shit. E3 should have just put their money where their mouth is, put like, get all the little guys and the weirdos that used to be in the back of that convention hall to have a convention. I want to see Christ Revolution, the Christian DDR game up on the main stage, or that guy who hacked Oblivion to make it so that you could smell your enemies.
Yeah, I think we'd be the only ones watching that. The viewership would be two. And it would be Frank and Trevor, and we'd be like live streaming on the Smooth Burrito.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? E3 is, but they want to seem like the big hot thing. You know what I mean? Like they wanted to go head to head with Summer Games Fest. And I'm sure Jeff Keighley took a lot of that. You know, I mean, he, like, Elden Ring was announced at a Summer Games Fest. Like, I mean, it's going to be hard to have two E3s every year.
Yeah, even where, before that, they kind of got like, they kind of got their lunch eaten by like C2E2 and stuff, or CES.
Yep.
I think C2E2 is a random ass game con, not what I was thinking of.
And so it's going to be hard when Jeff Keighley is trying to get a bunch of stuff for Summer Games Fest, E3 is trying to get stuff for E3, they're trying to get exclusives. And it was just nice when everything was all in one place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to miss the Devolver Digital parking lot experience, though. Which, honestly, stuff like that is probably one of the reasons why people didn't end up going back to E3, is because they didn't really treat, like, the people coming to present games all that well.
No, yeah, they didn't. I know games media was like put through the ringer and shit during that a lot of the time, and I mean it was a rough go, but
yeah, I'm sure that like Giant Bomb and people of their ilk, well, I guess Giant Bomb doesn't really exist anymore in the form I'm talking about, but you know, whoever the hell covers games media these days, I'm so old, I'm but dust, but I'm sure they're happy about the change.
Yeah.
They can just do it from a couch rather than having to go to the show floor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and because we're old, I'm going to miss the way it used to be, because I'm old. I miss the way a lot of things used to be.
I think I would have liked to have gone at some point, but I don't know.
I almost got to go 1 year for the Game Fanatics. Oh, yeah? Yeah, back when I used to write for the Game Fanatics, but it was like I got a pass, but it was, you know, you had to pay your way to get there and stuff, and just didn't have the funds to do it.
Yeah, with flight and hotel and shit, that can definitely add up real quick. You'd end up spending like $3,000 or something.
Yep.
Well, I know you have some Zelda news for us that you are very excited about.
Yep, I'm. You know, I'm a huge Zelda fan. You know, I like my Nintendo. But they finally showed off gameplay for Tears of the Kingdom. And it's divisive. Some people are like, this is just Breath of the Wild DLC. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think those people don't know what a sequel is. But they showed off 10 minutes of gameplay, and it seems like they're keeping a lot of stuff under wraps, because the gameplay was very mechanics focused. They showed nothing in terms of story. They didn't show anything in terms of like how things have like specifically changed, or how the world's been altered, or why certain things are the way they are. They literally just showed some mechanics in terms of all the different stuff that you could do with like physics and building, and some of like the different things that you could do. They showed off the sky islands. You went up there, you know, you fucked around for a little bit, played on there, made a boat out of some tree trunks and some fans and shit. And it's cool. The amount of things that you could do, it seems like one of the hooks in Tears of the Kingdom is they took, you know, these viral videos that happened from Breath of the Wild, where everybody was just doing all kinds of creative, crazy shit with the physics in that game. And they went all out with Tears of the Kingdom and are giving people completely open freedom to build, do whatever they want with anything that exists in the environment, which to me is completely insane and absolutely awesome, because that's some of like the most fun that I had with Breath of the Wild, and one of the things that like got me the most excited about playing it after the story was done was just experimentation and exploration. Yeah. And it seems like that's going to be one of the center focuses of improvement in Tears of the Kingdom. So I'm all in. Like, that was awesome. That was amazing. Some people are complaining because they were like, oh, the environments look the same and everything else, and nothing really looked like it changed. And it seems like it's just, you know, building DLC for Breath of the Wild. And I, you know, I'm sitting here like, do you, first of all, Nintendo is always like super tight-lipped on Zelda games. They never really expose everything that's going to be happening in the game. You know, a lot of the trailers nowadays that people see completely spoil everything. That's kind of like the new thing. Nintendo's old school and they do the opposite. And so the idea is, I'm sure, about like 99.9% confident that everybody's going to jump into Tears of the Kingdom and shit's going to get flipped upside down, and you're going to encounter and play things that you completely couldn't have anticipated in this game. And I'm excited about it. And I think the people that are
also just from like a making game standpoint, like, reusing stuff happens a lot, and it arguably happens less now than it did. Like, if you look at Majora's Mask, like, how much of that is just remixed Ocarina of Time stuff?
It is. Like, it's basically a sequel, kind of.
That's a sequel.
Yeah. It's the and I loved Majora's Mask almost more than I loved Ocarina, because it was obscure, it was different, it was creative, and people are crazy if they think that Nintendo is not going to do something obscure, cool, and creative with Tears of the Kingdom. You know what I mean? And if they're going to reuse assets, by all means, Breath of the Wild is one of the best ones to do it with. I mean, the art style is timeless. Like,
yeah,
it still looks good today when you play it. So,
and one of my favorite video games, Saints Row 2, literally reuses the entire city from the first game.
Yeah, it's true. I like Saints Row and Saints Row 2. I don't like the new one so much, but those first two were great.
Yeah, that new one is oof.
Is it bad? I heard it's bad. I haven't played it.
So it's real bad, but it's like bad due to a laundry list of things that just make it like equal kind of a terrible experience all the way around. Like, for starters, there's less traffic and foot traffic in that city than games released on the 360 originally, which is baffling to me.
Ooh.
Like it really seems like it was built off of off-the-shelf parts, like, you know, assets, like, and just not optimized at all. And like the lead designer for it, and the only one of the only guys left from like the original Saints Row games, was the art director on those previous games. And you can tell, I think the city actually looks really cool. Like, I like the weird southwestern vibe it has. It's definitely different than like Stillwater and Hillport, I think, was the one for 3 and 4.
Yep. I think that sounds right.
But yeah, the shooting doesn't look good. They did that annoying thing that Saints Row used to never fucking do, and that was one of the main differences between it and Grand Theft Auto, is that during a mission, if you need a car, or you need a weapon, or you need whatever, you can go fuck off into the city and get that shit. You can't do that anymore. It'll do the GTA, you are abandoning this mission, giant screen, except it's even more stingy about like the area that you have to do the mission. So that stuff seems annoying. Character creation is whatever, but they've never reached the heights of Saints Row 2 on that again. And the actual storyline, you know, Watch Dogs, like,
yep,
and how basically the entire cast is like what a corporation thinks millennials act like. and that means everyone acts like an Instagram influencer. It's that.
Is that Watch Dogs 2?
Yeah, I guess it's more Watch Dogs 2 than Watch Dogs. Actually, I guess walking around as a guy, brooding guy in a hat. But
that was the whole game.
Yeah, whole game.
Watch Dogs 2, yeah, I totally agree with that generalization. And I actually really like that game. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and but like the writing in that fashion is just even more transparently kind of awful. Like, yep. At some point, they seem to forget that the Saints Row, like, the Saints are a criminal enterprise. Like, there's, and you know, I'm not saying that, like, what the cops think are bad is necessarily a bad thing, but you shoot people for a living. Like, come on.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know. That game has weird vibes all around, and I think it definitely... A, it was only released because there's been a dearth of, like, open-world crime stuff a la Grand Theft Auto. Like, they had the GTA 6 leaks happen, but that game's still a ways off. And I'm pretty sure that they probably, like, either pushed it up in their schedule or had it had them fabricate it wholeheartedly based on, hey, there's a niche to fill in the market at this time. We should do that. And, I mean, I guess it filled that niche. It probably shot the series in the back of the head while doing it.
Yep. Because they rebooted it, delayed it like 2 or 3 times, and then it still sucked. So
yeah, and this was after that weird like Agents of Mayhem thing where they were trying to do a Saints Row-esque thing that didn't involve nasty crime guys, but like nasty crime shit is integral to that series. And there's also like there's just not much nasty crime guy stuff. There's no mission where you go around in a poop truck and shoot poop on people.
That's key. You have to do that. Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily shoot poop at people, but like something like that.
No, you have to shoot poop at people, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. No feces, no buy. That's what I say.
No feces, 1 out of 10.
But, and also the soundtrack is just kind of not there. Like these games had really good soundtracks, and now it's like there's stock music in the soundtrack. Like no, I'm not like not fucking kidding about that. Like that's not a dig at like the people on SoundCloud that they probably got. Also, there's literal stock music in that soundtrack.
That's weird.
I mean the easy listening station either. It's supposed to be modern music.
It's weird.
It's real weird. The whole thing gives off a this was made on the cheap vibe that the previous games didn't really have. Like the whole thing about Saints Row is that it seemed like it was made very much with care. And I don't know.
Dude, I played so much Saints Row online, bro. Back in the Xbox 360 days, I played that constantly. I put so many hours into that game.
Stupid yeah, if the new fun. Saints Row had been good, I probably would have done the same with the new one, but, yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, I might be booting up Saints Row 4 here shortly. A friend of mine was looking at that, and I think that game is unfairly maligned. Yeah, it got away from it got away from basically being GTA with modifications, but I feel like it's a really good superhero game. It's weird as shit. So.
Yeah, I like weird games.
Oh, yeah, but I'll let you know how that goes. But yeah, I don't know how we got off on the Saints Row tangent. There's also a new
3DS. Zelda the Saints Row, yeah.
New 3DS. What the hell is my mouth saying? New Switch hardware.
Yeah, with that Zelda gameplay reveal, they announced a new Zelda OLED Switch, which my wife has been really into Animal Crossing again and has been stealing my Switch a lot. To play Animal Crossing. So maybe I can justify a purchase of the Zelda Switch to hand down my old one so she can fulfill her Animal Crossing addiction. And I can justify the purchase of a new Switch OLED. It looks really cool. It's dope. The dock is really nice. I like the Joy-Cons. It actually has some interesting designs on the back of it. And I'm just so hyped for Tears of the Kingdom. I like couldn't be more excited for that game.
I always wanted like a I'm surprised they never did this with a 3DS, but one based on that old Zelda Game & Watch that was literally just the DS format.
Oh yeah, I think I remember that.
I felt like that was a slam dunk and they never really did it, but yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I probably won't be getting one personally. My Switch is
I don't want
somewhere.
I actually play my Switch more than I play anything else, probably. I just feel like they had Metroid Prime Remastered recently come out. I played that. They had Fire Emblem Engage come out. I played that. They had Octopath Traveler 2 come out. I played that. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the games that I'm interested in are on Switch right now. And, I mean, I got into Resident Evil 4 on my PS5, but that's about it. Really? Yeah,
I got a big old PC and emulated backlog, and by the time I get through that, I'll be able to also emulate all the Switch titles I'm interested in.
Right.
So I'm probably going to go that route.
You've got your little handheld there.
That thing can fucking, you can use that as, like, you know how the NVIDIA Shield tablets do the whole remote gaming thing? Apparently someone made an open source implementation of that, and that thing can do it. So feasibly, I could use that as some sort of weird Switch-esque thing, I guess. I don't know that I would.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. But yeah, with that, let's get into Elden Ring. Like I said, I got a big plate of crow to eat, but first off, how have you been getting along with it?
So I went on this stint of play. This is what I do with Elden Ring, is I play and I play and I play and I end up getting hooked and I play it constantly. And then I just get bored and I put it down. And that's basically what happened. So I'm going to say I got to level what was it? I think I even texted you where I was at, because I like became kind of obsessed with it for a little while.
Hey, you're right at like level 60 or something? I don't know.
I think it was like around, almost 50. And I can't remember the exact boss I got to, but I got to the academy, and I was at level 45, and I put about 45 hours into it. So that's where I stopped. I don't really know why I stopped. I think the issue I have with Elden Ring is there's just sometimes you get off on these things where like you have these obscure goals that you want to hit. Like maybe it's a weapon you want to find or upgrade, or maybe it's a boss that you want to beat, or maybe it's like this new area you want to get to. But the point that I feel like I end up stopping all the time is when I've like hit all those goals that I had, and I had a roadblock, and the only way to get past this roadblock is to like pull up a fucking walkthrough. And oh yeah, I get good, blah blah blah, do it on your own, whatever. If you're playing this game without a walkthrough, you're probably missing the vast majority of the game. And so once I get to that point and I have to like pull up a walkthrough and then like go on these, I don't like playing games with walkthroughs, Frank.
Neither do I.
And so like once I get to that point where I'm like, if I want to progress and like get to this thing that I really want to do, but I need a walkthrough to like get through to it, and then the walkthrough tells me I need some fucking thing that I don't have that I need to like backtrack and go find somewhere else, I end up being like, okay, I'm done. And I put it down and I don't pick it back up. And that's pretty much where I'm at the moment.
Yeah. I, so after our podcast, I didn't touch it for like a month or however long it took us to, like about half the time it took us to record this new one that we're doing now. And that was because I was busy with other stuff, and it didn't seem like it felt like a chore rather than a thing I was doing because I wanted to have fun. And then I finally did start playing it again, and I realized, one, like, I found some things that are more surmountable than the stuff I was going after previously. I also found out that, like, that, you know, you can cheese a lot of combat with the bigger stuff with the horse. So, like, I was fighting that troll that is near all those dudes, near the entrance to the castle or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, the path to the castle or whatever. So I just lured that guy out and just whacked him with the horse a few times and he went down. And I started enjoying how the combat felt, and having more sturdy sea legs when it came to that combat system allowed me to do more, which allowed me to explore more, and it just kind of, I got into that gameplay loop, which is the gameplay loop they want you in, of explore, find a thing, kill it, use it to explore more, etc., etc. I also found out that, like, there was a bunch of area that I just hadn't, like, looked at full stop. Like I thought I had covered that map, or at least the, like, not the whole map, but, like, the initial noob area that I was of the level to cover. No, not at all. So I did more exploring there, started having, like, a lot of fun with it. I really enjoy the game now. I definitely think it's good. I'm, like, level 30. I think my complaints about the game that I had in the previous podcast, where it doesn't really convey anything to you, especially as a new player, it doesn't hold your hand in the slightest, those are still valid. And yes, on the one hand, get good, yada, 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 but this is supposed to be your accessible game. And also, you have no problem with giving me, like, guys later who are like, oh, hey, my name's Rick Stevenson or whatever the fuck, or, you know, Godric Von Claptrap or whatever the hell fancy name is, and I need you to go clear out this fortress for me. Like, you have no problem giving me those guys later. Why not in the area where you might want to give the player a bit of direction at the start? Like, hey, instead of me stumbling upon the Eastern Cave full of, like, all those fucking bat guys or, like, the abhumans or whatever, how about have a guy be like, hey, you should probably check out the Eastern Cave, and I don't know. I'm not saying it needs to have, like, a super formalized quest system like Skyrim or something. Just a bit more nudging would be nice. And also, like, I've been using the map, like, the markers, the waypoints, all that stuff. But what I really wish that that map had, and granted, nobody does this aside from Ultima Underworld, like, one of the first 3D open world dungeon crawlers, if not the first. It lets you write on the map directly. Like, you just, like, have a little quill icon, you put it down, and you can make yourself notes. I wish it let you do that, because sometimes, yeah, I forget what I meant with the symbols.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, I don't know. Game good. It takes a lot to get into, but yeah, it's a good video game, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a great video game. I just think that there's a lot, like, there's walls, and I'm not patient enough to sort it out. Sometimes, like, you'll sit there, like, if you don't do a walkthrough, yeah, sure, you could get through these without a walkthrough, but I'm not gonna sit there in a 2-hour play session and make zero progress. I'm not going to do it. Just won't.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
I'm still going without the walkthrough. I'm going to try to maintain that, mostly just because I don't want to fucking pop open a walkthrough. Like, if I'm fucking, I really feel like if I'm doing that, I'm not playing the video game. I'm playing someone else's playthrough of the video game.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly how I feel. But sometimes, Frank, there will be a weapon that you want really bad, and you'll be like, how do I get it? And also, if you don't look at a walkthrough, you won't know all the things that you could be doing or could get from the game, right? You know, like, you're gonna miss out on all these cool fucking gear or weapons and shit that you're not just gonna stumble upon unless you play the game for 1,000 hours. I'm not gonna play the game for 1,000 hours. I'm not gonna explore every single aspect of this gigantic map. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I'm going to, like, if I don't use a walkthrough, then I'm going to miss out on a ton of shit. And sometimes that's okay, but in Elden Ring, like I kind of want to know, oh, what gear can I get, or what kind of weapon can I get? Because that's kind of like the most exciting thing, using a new weapon, you know, on like some boss that's giving you a hard time. So I don't know. I like the game a lot. I think it's a great game. I have a ton of fun with it. That's why I get hooked. That's why I get obsessed with it. That's why I played 45 hours and maybe a week and a half of Elden Ring. Like I just, and then I end up getting blocked and I like hit all the goals that I was trying to hit. And then I kind of just get bored with it and I put it down for a while. And I'm sure I'll pick it back up again. And then do the same thing where I play through it for, like, I'm reinvigorated and I play through it for like another week or two for 45, 50 more hours. Like, it's one of those games that's so big and interesting that it's like one that I could play forever. I can come back to 3 years from now and pick up, and actually picking it back up, relearning it is not as hard as some of the Dark Souls games. So I did that recently where I, like, you know, I was like 40 or so hours in, and then I picked it back up like 2 or 3 weeks after not playing it. And I was like, sometimes like I would do that with like Dark Souls or something, and I would forget not only what I was doing, but really how to play it. And I feel like Elden Ring is not really the same. I was able to pick it up and kind of move along pretty easily.
Yeah, I do think, like I said, I think that all the criticisms are valid. I don't think that your game design shouldn't factor in that fans are going to make this big-ass wiki. And I don't necessarily know it does. But FromSoft has never been really good at, like, signposting or anything. Like, they're really more just throw you in the deep end and let you figure it out types. Yep. So I guess that would be my major complaint. But yeah, other than that, I enjoy the video game. The combat system's really good. I finally beat Margit the Fellhanded, or whatever the fuck his name was, after I got a summon for some giant knight dude, and I basically just cheesed him with that and the guy that the other summon that the game just gives you outside of that boss door.
Yep.
Which is probably what they wanted me to do, but I don't know. I might play it more later. I'm not sure, actually. We'll have to see.
I feel like I want to put it down, and I think we should play something different the next podcast, to be honest. Oh, yeah,
we absolutely should move on, like, podcast-wise. I think we are supposed to check out Armored Core 3.
Yeah, I think that was the next one, I believe so. But I don't know if I want to go directly to another FromSoft game, Frank. I could be up for it. Change of pace. What do you think? Is there any other games that you're interested in, or are you really interested in Armored Core 3?
I don't know. I would need some alternatives if you have any. Not that I've been necessarily chomping at the bit to play Armored Core 3 specifically, but I do know that new one's coming out at some point. And I have wanted to revisit Armored Core in some capacity.
What about Minish Cap? Hear me out. Yeah. Great Zelda game. I believe Capcom made that. Am I right on that? I think Capcom made this one. Game Boy Advance game. I've been having an itch to play it. They added it to the Game Boy Advance games for the Switch. And I haven't played that, man, in so many years, but I remember liking it a lot. And I'd be really into playing that, but only if you're open to it. It was just a suggestion, because I know you got your little toy from your homies at work. And I'm sure Minish Cap's probably on there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's already on there. Yeah, I wouldn't mind checking that out.
I think it's a quick play, too. I mean, I think to beat it's like 10 hours or something.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine it being too huge.
No, it's not. It's decent size for a Game Boy Advance game, but I believe it is one of the shorter Zelda games.
So I think next podcast we will come back with our observations on Circle of the Moon. I don't think we need to take two of them for this like we did with Elden Ring. It's not
no.
that big.
No. No, no.
But, yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about?
No, that's it for me.
All right, well, I think that's going to be it for us then. We will catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.